So this was a bit of a last minute. Jonah put out a call last night and was like, hey, does anyone have a burning desire to teach young adults like tomorrow? And I was like, I kind of messaged back. I noticed Caden and Micah were not rushing to, you know, show that message as read. So I was like, you know, I don't have a burning desire, but if you need someone to cover, I can. And so here we are. This message was prepared single digit hours ago. And I've titled it Sojourners in a Transitory World. Sojourners, big word, Bible word. You don't hear that. So I'm going to start by defining it. It is one who stays, a sojourner is one who stays temporarily. One who stays temporarily. Now, if you don't know me, which I think everybody in the room does, but I'm Air Force. I'm a sergeant in the Air Force. And Rachel and I have been here for a little over a year. So I wanted to give you guys my Air Force story. It's kind of a big part of my identity, of who I am. People are like, oh, that Nathaniel? Yeah, he's military, right? Kind of bleeds red, white, and blue. So I grew up in the same house all my life. The biggest move I ever had before I left to join the Air Force was I moved from one bedroom in the house to another bedroom in the house. I went from sharing a room with one brother to sharing a room with two brothers so that my sister could have a room all to herself. So that was the biggest move I'd ever experienced. So left when I was 19. I was a couple months out from turning 20. I actually turned 20 while I was at basic training in San Antonio, Texas. So I spent the first 8 weeks, as we all do, first 8 weeks of my Air Force career down in San Antonio. Then I hopped on a bus at the end of that, and we drove through the night to Biloxi, Mississippi, where I spent the next 6 weeks doing technical training. I was there April, and then the first half, or very beginning of May. So I left right as it was getting very, very moist in Mississippi, very moist. After getting home and spending a couple weeks in Florida at post-technical training, where in those 2 weeks, Rachel and I got married, we then packed up my little Subaru with as much as we could, and we drove out to Missouri, where we spent the next 4 years of my Air Force career. We were at Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri, in Central MO for 4 years. We had a great church. We had great community, and honestly, I had a great work environment for those 4 years. I will say we were very, very spoiled and very blessed, even if one of those years was robbed from us due to the coronavirus pandemic. That's actually why we stayed an extra year. At the three-year mark, they were like, hey, do you want to leave? And I was like, nah, I don't count 2020. That was like a blip. So let's do a fourth year. We've kind of got some great friends here and a great church, and I'm loving my work environment. After our son Thomas was born, I was like, you know what? I think I've served my time. I'm ready to do something new. And so they said, great. We'll give you a break and we'll send you to Mountain Home, Idaho. And I was like, oh, love it. I'm very excited for my break. And then I got here and they were like, oh, you're a sergeant now? Huh. We're going to give you all the work and all the leadership and all the responsibility. And I've never been more stressed in my life than I have been here at Mountain Home. Yeah. Stress. And if you know, Rachel and I are about 3 weeks out from packing it up again and moving to Germany for who knows how long we'll be there. But that is next. You could say then that in the transitory environment, Rachel and I are sojourners wherever we go. I'm there temporarily, whether that's 8 weeks in Texas, 6 weeks in Missouri, 4 years in, 6 weeks in Mississippi, 4 years in Missouri, and 18 months here in Idaho. And we're going to go be sojourners in Germany for however long we're there. So as we are looking at, as Rachel and I have been looking forward and to this move, we're very stressed. There's a lot of logistical moving parts. Right before we got here, we had to stop at AutoZone because as we were leaving the house, I remembered that part of shipping my car to Germany is that it has to have a new battery in it. And I'm shipping it on Wednesday. So I was like, crap, we have to stop at AutoZone because I have to buy a battery. So that's what I did right before coming here. So as we're looking at it, we're being reminded a lot of when we left Missouri. Now, when we left Missouri, we had done 4 years, right? We said, you know what? We've done it. we've done Missouri. We have poured into people and people have poured into us. We're feeling called to start asking the Air Force, hey, we're ready for a move, right? Well, this move coming up, we did not ask for. We didn't ask for this one. You didn't ask for it. We didn't ask for it. But God is doing something anyway. So that's kind of the heart behind this lesson. It's for both kinds of people in the room. For those who go, if you're Air Force, you're transitory. You're a sojourner. Whatever your duty station, whatever your assignment, it's for a time. It's for a limited time. But if you're the one who stays, I think it's just as hard. Because you're looking at these people, and you're knowing when they get here, oh, you're Air Force. Immediately you think, you're only going to be here for a limited time. However long that is, or however short, I don't know. And so the danger then, if we're sojourners in a transitory world, the danger is that we can fall into two camps. And I would call the first camp the wanderers. First camp is the wanderers. Like the Hebrews who wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, we can refuse to settle and we can refuse to connect. If you're the Air Force, you come in and you go, you know what? I'm only going to be here for a little bit. There's no point in getting close to anyone because I'm going to have to let them go eventually, right? But that's just as dangerous, and I would say just as unbiblical for the, we'll call them the civilians, right? For the non-service members, the non-military members in the room, right? Air Force person comes in, military family comes in, they join young adults, they join the church, they join your community, whatever that looks like. And you go, you know what? I'm not going to let my heart get close. I'm not going to connect with these people because I'm only going to have to let them go. Like the Hebrews who wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, they never settled. They never connected with anyone because they just wandered. They didn't know how long they'd be wandering, but they wandered nonetheless. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, the author says, I'm in the ESV, no, NIV. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. This is the heart of the wanderer. I'm not going to connect with them because what's the point? I'm not going to connect with anyone. I'm not going to settle. What's the point? I'm just here. For a limited time. I'm transitory. It's meaningless. It's vanity. Striving after wind, it's a waste of time. Yes, sir. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And yet, in the same book, if you turn over to chapter 4, in the same book, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, this teacher that we're presented with in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, essentially, in our argument, in our conversation tonight, negates that idea of everything is meaningless. When he says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. So whether you're the one who stays behind or you're the one who goes, there is purpose and there is a point to becoming friends, to connecting, to getting close. Because you might be the one who has to be picked up, and you might be the one who has to do the picking up. Don't be a wanderer. So then maybe you say, all right, well, if I'm not going to do that, then I'm going to make every intention and every point, and I'm going to connect, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to make the most of the time I have. You become a planner. That's the other danger. You become a planner. Turn with me to the book of James. Turn to chapter 4, James chapter 4, and we'll see the danger of being a planner. As dangerous as being a wanderer, it's dangerous to be a planner. James chapter 4, verse 13, I'll read, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. I can attest that if you are a military member in the room, then you probably have a dream sheet, right? You have a dream sheet. It's got all these assignments that you want to go to, right? And all you think about is, well, let's see, I'll do an assignment at Mountain Home, and then from there I'm gonna do whatever it takes, and then I'm gonna go overseas, and I'm gonna kick around overseas for a little bit because it's great, make a bunch of money, see a lot of places, and then I'll come back, and I'll pick what base I want to go to, and then I'll get out at that base because that's where I want to settle, you know, post military, right? Or you think, you know what, I'm gonna get in, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm going to do the full 20, right? I'm going to make it to E9, or I'm going to commission, and I'll, you know, make it to colonel, and, you know, get a fat retirement check. You know, I'll do 25, 30 years. And then 10 years in, you're like, wow, the Air Force is actually really terrible, and I'm really burnt out. And then you end up settling, and you get a job at Costco, and you rise to regional manager, and you're like, I never really wanted to work at Costco, right? Or you're the person who stays behind, you're right? You're the one who doesn't move. And the military person comes into town, and you immediately go, well, I will invite them over to my house. If they're cool, we'll become friends. You know, maybe I'll enlist them to become one of my OASIS youth teachers, right? And I'll really count on him to be a teacher for a while. Plans get upended, right? Inevitably, they get upended. If you've ever seen the movie Evan Almighty, right? Very famous line from that movie. If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, right? I've done that twice in my Air Force career, and both times I had the rug pulled out from under me because I told God my plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do that. And both times, it failed. The danger of this is captured, the reverse from this is captured also in Proverbs, chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. I will turn there real quick. Proverbs, mostly written by King Solomon, who many people believe is also the author of Ecclesiastes, right? So he's bringing his wisdom to us. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And then later in verse 9, he says, in his heart a man plants his course, but the Lord determines his steps. That verse 9 is really important, right? When trying to battle being a planner, you will plan something. It is inevitable that as a human, as a person with ambitions and dreams, you will plan something. But ultimately, it's the Lord who establishes the steps, who carves your path, right? Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Does this mean that I can make up whatever plans I want? And then as long as I pray before I start on those plans, God's going to be like, well, shoot, he committed it to me. I guess I have to bless it now. No. When you commit your plans and your works and your ambitions and desires to the Lord, when it says that commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed, it's because when you commit whatever you're doing, you're writing God a blank check. It's whatever. So you write a blank check to God and say, God, I'm committing whatever to you. And when he says, I'm going to make these plans succeed, it's because he's writing in his own plans. Inevitably, God's plans are the plans that will succeed. So as dangerous as it is to be a wanderer and to say, I'll never connect, there's no point in trying at anything or trying with anyone. It's just as dangerous to say, to put your own foot down and say, no, this is how it's going to be, and this is what's going to happen. I think the best example of this is Jesus, right? If we look at Jesus' example, he was here for 33 years. Born, and then 33 years later, died, and then was resurrected. Spent a little extra time on earth. Sabbatical, I'm guessing, and then he decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to heaven, right? But if we look at his time on earth and how he spent it, he didn't start his public ministry until he was 30. So if he died at 33 and he started his public ministry at 30, that means his public ministry was only 3 years, right? Newsflash, look at it this way. 3 years is the average, give or take, some run long, some go incredibly short, but 3 years is the Air Force average of an assignment. 3 years. 3 years that wherever you get assigned, or wherever you welcome people in, 3 years is the Air Force average of how long you'll be somewhere. Which means that your assignment average is the same as how long Jesus did public ministry. So he had an assignment, a duty station, Earth, the Middle East. That's where he was stationed. That's where he got orders to. And he went and he served his assignment for 3 years. And then it was done. But look at what he did in those 3 years. Look at what he accomplished in 3 years. That's what the Gospels are all about. We turn to John. We're going to be in John for a while now. The very last verse in the book of John, John chapter 21, verse 25, says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is coming from John, who only knew Jesus for those 3 years. So his frame of reference for many other things that he did and all the things that if they were written down would fill the world and beyond is based on his frame of reference of those 3 years he spent with him. That's how much Jesus did. So I'll ask you, if you're somewhere for 3 years, or you know someone who's only going to be here at Mountain Home for 3 years, are people writing books about how much you're getting done? About the effect that you are having on people in that community? Or are you slipping into being that wanderer where, well, I'm only here for a limited time. There's no point in getting anything started. I'm only going to be here for a little bit, so why would I invest myself? You see, Jesus was aware of his limited time. He was aware that he was only going to be here for a little while, he says. And this is repeated throughout the book of John. John 16, verse 16, he says, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. John chapter 12, I'm just going to flip these and give them to you rapid fire. John chapter 12, verse 35, he says, then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light, that's him, just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. John chapter 13, verse 33 reads, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. And then the last one, John 7, verse 33, he says, I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. I'll read verse 34 as well. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. So Jesus, it was not lost on him that he was only going to be there for a little while. And yet he chose to invest himself and to make the most of the time that he had. He made the most. He was aware that it was only for a little while. When Rachel and I got our orders to Mountain Home, we thought we were going to be here for 3 to 4 years. Air Force average, right? We get here and everyone says, oh, Mountain Home's a black hole. Once you get here, you never leave, right? And now here we are 18 months later, leaving. We didn't see that coming, right? That is not the little while that we thought we had. It's not. But like Jesus, Rachel and I wanted to make the most of the time we had, right? Our pastor in Missouri was Air Force himself. And he and his wife really poured into Rachel and I while we were there. And that was their mission. They said, look, we know everybody who comes to Whiteman. Basically, day one, they get there. Day two, they want to leave, right? Like, it was not a place people wanted to hang out. But he said, if they're here for 4 years, they're here for 2 years, doesn't matter. We're going to make the most of the time we have with them. Jesus was aware. Jesus is the ultimate example of making the most of the time we have because he was a sojourner in a temporary, in a transitory world. He was only going to be on earth for a little while. He didn't come here and say, all right, I'm going to come, I'm going to die on the cross, and then I'm going to leave because that's my mission. I'm going to do my mission. I'm going to go home. Right? No, he spent 3 years healing people, teaching the gospel, right? Sharing the love of God, bringing salvation. Because he could have come down and said, you know what? I have a job to do. I'm only going to be there for a little while, so I might as well just get the job done, right? Come down, immediately kill me, and then I'll just go back to heaven, right? And then we're done. But he said, no, I can do more with that time. He didn't just sit around waiting for God to say, all right, son, the time is now. Let's get to the cross, right? No, he was out and he was active. And so, as we close, perhaps you are the mover. Perhaps you are the person who's waiting on orders. You're waiting on an assignment, right? You're waiting on God's calling on your life to say, okay, your time here is done. It's time to go somewhere else. Because you don't have to necessarily be military to do that, right? Look at Jonah and Michaela. Spent time in Colorado. Now here they are. Or Silas and Emily, right? You guys came from Missouri. Here you are. So I don't remember your name, but I do remember your story, right? That you guys were somewhere and God said, hey, I want you to move to Mountain Home. And now here you are. So you don't have to be military. You're the mover. That God says it's time to go. And you go. So what do you do with the time you're given? If we examine Jesus' example, you have to make the most. Make the most of the time. Whether that's 4 years or 18 months. Connect with people. Pour into people. And let people pour into you. Right? You could sit at home and say, why? Why Mountain Home? Of all the places in America. If you Google it, if you Google image, a search for Idaho, it does not pull up Mountain Home, okay? It pulls up the Sawtooths and it pulls up Coeur d'Alene, right? So this is not the Idaho that we are sold by the internet. So what do you do with the time? You make the most of it. Let people pour into you and pour into others, right? Because even Jesus, when shown great faith, was encouraged. So it's not all give. There is some take. Allow yourself to be invested into and then invest into others. And perhaps you are the stay behind. Perhaps you're the plant, right? You're the one who has to welcome people in and you have to say goodbye to people, right? And you think, that sucks. I don't like that. I don't like that as soon as I meet someone, I know they're only going to be here for a little bit, and then I have to say goodbye to them at some point. If I do that, I'm just going to get my heart broken over and over and over again with every friend and every person that comes into town that's only here for a little bit. So what do you do with the time that you have with them? Do you push them away? Do you keep them at a distance? Right? Don't get too close. I don't want to get hurt again. No. You make the most of the time you're given. Whether that's 4 years, 6 years, 10 years, or 18 months, 12 months. Make the most of the time you're given. Jesus' disciples, when they found out, when Jesus started telling them, I'm only going to be here for a little while longer, they didn't go, well, nice knowing you, Jesus, and then left, right? No, they dug their heels in. They said, let's make the most of the time we have left. I don't know how long a little while is. But let's make the most, right? And then even when he was gone, they continued on in that mission. They didn't throw their hands up and say, well, he's gone. What's the point anymore? They continued on. So whether you are the mover or the stay behind, make the most of the time you're given wherever you are, whether that's here in Mountain Home or wherever you go to next, make the most of the time. Because ultimately, on a grand scale, we are all sojourners in this world, right? You don't know how long you're going to be here on earth. So if you don't know how long you're going to be here in Mountain Home, you don't know how long you're going to be here, period. So on a grand scale, do you throw your hands up and go, well, I don't know how long I'm going to be on earth. I guess I'll never make friends, right? No. You invest in people. You connect. Because as the teacher said in Ecclesiastes, woe to the man, pity on the man who doesn't have someone to pick him up. Because you don't know, like I said earlier, you don't know if you're the one picking up or you're the one who is being picked up. Throughout the course of your life, you could be both. So on a grand scale, we're just sojourners in a transitory world. One day, our time here is up. We will go home to heaven. So we have to make the most of the time that we're given on earth because we don't know how long it is. And then, on a smaller scale, make the most of the time you're given wherever you are because you don't know how long you'll be there. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the people who are gathered here tonight, God. Thank you for putting it on their hearts to be here tonight. Lord, thank you that this is not our home. This place has a lot of problems, and there are problems that don't seem to be going away, God. So thank you that you are preparing a home for us on the other side. But Lord, while we're here, may we be thankful, God, for every moment, every day that we are here. Because every day, every moment is a new opportunity to show your love and your light to those we come in contact with. I thank you, God, that you have brought each and every person in this room to Mountain Home, God, for however long and for whatever purpose. Lord, that just shows that you are sovereign, you're providential. There are people in this room that can connect with one another in a building that facilitates connection, God. I pray that as we go out from this building, Lord, that there would be a work in our heart that we don't hold people at arm's length. We don't hold people at a distance because of uncertainty, because of transition, because of temporality, God. I pray instead that that would drive us to hold people closer, to put forth more effort, reflective of your Son's effort, Lord, that you poured into us with the time that you were given on earth. I pray that as we go about our week, God, as we go about the rest of the year, Lord, I pray that each and every person in this room would just feel a call to let go of what is holding them back from fully investing in others. To let go of being fully invested in God. Pray all of this in your Son's holy, precious, and powerful name.